I'm going to be working on another zine. It's going to be like a non-binary dex, learning about all non-binary types of expression and gender, because I want to combat the idea that non-binary is just a third gender.
Content warnings for this episode include mental health, dysphoria, early transition, educational system struggles, disability, ableism, misgendering, and anti-trans bigotry. Jennifer would like to acknowledge the Indigenous peoples. Let's try that again. Jennifer would like to acknowledge the Indigenous peoples and unceded lands that the producers, hosts, and guests live and have dwelt upon. Today, we honor the Mohawk, Algonquin, and Anishinaabewaki.
I'm also honoring the Wichita.
We honor the elders, the human, plant, and animal ancestors of these lands, and celebrate the living descendants of these peoples. May all beings tend to these lands for the goodness of the next seven generations and beyond. Howdy, folks. Welcome to Genderful, a talk show interviewing gender diverse folks about their special interests. Hi, I'm Miranda Katita, and my pronouns are she, her. The focus of our show is to interview trans, non-binary, agender, and gender diverse people regarding their special interests, passion projects, and resources for the gender diverse community. We want our audience to know that we hold multiple diverse identities and bring these lenses to the show with our passion for telling our stories. I identify as trans feminine, neurodivergent, queer, and a person of color residing in Canada. We invite you to remember that we are whole people with robust lives, friendships, challenges, and successes. We love and are loved, and we are delighted to share these stories with you. As always, we kindly remind our listeners that no person is the monolith of their identities. Your identities can change over time and are valid every step of the way. If you think you're gender diverse, you are gender diverse. There is no social or medical prerequisites to be included in the community. Welcome to Genderful. So this week, our guest is Orion Fern, they, he pronouns, and is chatting with us about making zines.
Yay.
I believe that one of our producers, Juice, found you on Instagram. So welcome to Genderful. It's wonderful to have you here.
Hi, it's so good to be here. I'm super happy. And I've been watching a lot or watching and listening to a lot of y'all's episodes. So I've been caught
Awesome.
up all the genderful things and y'all do amazing work.
Yeah. I'm so glad you're enjoying the show. It's we have a big family here that works very hard to put on a good show. So if you're listening to this in the future and you missed the whole Twitch intro, I'm a little under the weather, so if I sound weird, that's why. But let's just move past that and we'll go right into the interview. So we have a couple questions that we'd like to ask all of our guests. The first one being is, what might be the things you can trace back to your youth that indicated you might be gender diverse one day?
Definitely. I think my number one thing was when I was in eighth grade. I really wanted to wear boxers for some reason. I didn't know why. I just really wanted to wear them, and my mom was cool with that. And then a teacher wasn't very happy with that, so it didn't last very long. But there was something there that was like, I really wanted to change how I was dressing, and that was just one of the little things I always thought was a funny memory when I was older, and I was like, oh yeah, that was definitely me being trans and masculine back then, and just like kind of missing like it going way over my head and not really realizing that. But so that was one of them. And then I guess probably another like little piece of my youth that indicated that was definitely like I wanted to change my name a lot. Like I used to mess with different ways to spell it and different ways to like have different usernames online and stuff like that. And just constantly wanting to change my name until I finally settled on my like chosen name after coming out as trans. And that even took time too. I went through a handful of names before finally landing on Orion.
Awesome. Yeah, it's definitely like those of us who are trans, we kind of figure it out at a very early age, and then society kind of makes us unlearn it in a lot of cases. So I mean, I definitely have moments that I can trace back where, like, as a very, very young child, like I wanted to, experiment with different clothes and stuff like that. But it's just like, yeah, there's no one I could tell. So
I know it was
it's
a
great that you
lot.
had that support from your parents that like they let you kind of experiment with what you
Yeah,
think.
my mom has always been a really big support, and she was the first one to really kind of like come around on understanding being trans and wanting to be more of an ally and stuff. And yeah, she's always been there for me with like kind of embracing my change and differences and stuff like that. And yeah, I just shout out to my mom. She's awesome. She might be watching. I love you, mom.
Yay.
Thanks for letting me wear boxers in eighth grade, even though it didn't last long. I wear them
Yeah.
now. They're a lot more comfortable.
Yeah, and I think that's wonderful, and I think we really need to normalize like trans supportive parents a lot more, just because if I feel like, and this is something I've discussed with like other trans friends of mine, is that it feels like a cliche to have like parents that don't support their trans kids, and just
For
like
sure.
it feels like that's kind of the expectation or that's the norm, but like we really should be lifting up parents that do support their children, because like I have a good friend, and her parents are fantastic, and they've been so supportive of her transition, and I haven't had that same experience, but like it's really nice to know that there are like folks like us out there that are getting that kind of familial support, and
Yeah, I
really
was very
does.
fortunate. So yeah, it worked out really well.
Awesome. Now, how would you say your relationship to gender has evolved over time?
It's definitely been a long journey, because I think I first came out as just non-binary before I found my like masculine part of myself. So it was kind of like a journey of like understanding that I was not a girl from like a young age, and didn't know what that I didn't have the language for that yet until I was about like in college years, about like 21, 22. I thankfully kind of grew up in the era of Tumblr before like it became kind of like controlled by other websites and stuff like Yahoo and all that. But back when it was new and there was like a lot of queer people on there just experimenting and talking and educating each other, that was like my renaissance of gender, basically. Like, so it was a lot of like not having language for what I felt from like third grade until like college. And then it was about like early college, about 24 years old, I came out as non-binary. And then after that, I came out. Hi, Jerry. He's gonna say hi. Oh, wait. There we go. There's Jerry.
Oh, hi.
But yeah, it was a lot of coming. I came out. That was when I first came out publicly, was when in 2014. And then after that, I came out again as trans masculine in 2017. So like you said earlier, like it's a lot of just tumbling and rolling, because I found my bisexuality when I was in eighth grade, and so that was the first coming out experience I had. And then the trans coming out was like in several steps, where 2017 was like the last time I had to come out publicly, though, because I pretty much stayed as trans masculine and non-binary since then, and haven't really changed the mark too much after having those like 10 years of experimental time, basically. Oh, baby, I know. You're really upset.
Oh, for those of you who are just listening, we have a cat on the screen who is
Yeah,
being
he wants pets so bad, but he's also very
Yes.
grumpy sometimes. And
Aww.
he gets overstimulated, and I understand that so well.
Yeah. Oh my God. I love cats and dogs so much.
Right, they're
I just got back
amazing.
from a vacation where I was visiting with my sister and one of my friends, and all of which have cats. And the whole time I was just like playing with the cats and just cuddling with them.
Yay! They're so
I love
cute.
it. Yeah, and it's just like normally I'm like extremely allergic to cats, but I didn't really react this time, so it's like
Oh
I could
wow, that's
actually cuddle with them.
amazing.
So yeah, I was just like, oh, I got one now.
Kitty time, yay.
So let's go ahead and switch into our special topic of the day, which is zines. So
Yes.
for those listening that don't know, how would you define a zine?
Zines, how I would define it is, well, it comes from the word magazine. If you ever wondered, sometimes people are not sure how to pronounce it, if it's zine or zine. People that make zines are okay with either pronunciation. It doesn't really matter. But since it comes from the word magazine, I usually just say zine. So they're kind of like little, since it's to taking one part of the word magazine, you can imagine that it's like making a little version of a magazine. And it's usually self-published, so you can make your own on paper and take a copy of your machine and just make a bunch of them and then fold them all up, and they can be small, they can be big. There's a lot of different ways you can make zines, but it's essentially just tiny magazine, self-published magazine is the best way to put it.
There's actually quite a long history of zines that kind of dates back several decades. Because we were chatting in the green room earlier, and there's a history. So I mean, I'm me, so I have to shove Star Trek into every conversation. So there was a history of zine making in the early like 60s, or like not early 60s, but in the early days of Star Trek during the 60s, where people were writing like their fanfics on zines. And I was like, oh, because I'd always kind of assumed that like zines were a modern phenomenon, but they have actually been around for quite some time.
Yeah, it's awesome how much like you can get into just like the depths of just people wanting to connect to other people really and connect on those things that they loved before there was an internet to do so. And that was basically how like people connected back then, was making their own fanzines and issues. And there's like, I'm in a part of like a couple like fanzine appreciation societies on Facebook that post like the really old vintage ones, and people will find like PDFs of them and stuff. And it's really eye-opening because it's like, yeah, like it comes, I think some of the first zines were like in the 30s with the Tijuana Bibles. And those were like adult fiction zines that were using fictional characters like Mickey Mouse and Donald Duck, but they were doing lots of wild things. Stuff that Disney doesn't want them to
Things
be
that
doing,
are
but people would
inappropriate
make
for Twitch and or YouTube.
them. And it's stuff that you probably don't want to look up, but just knowing that it was out there was such a cool thing. And there's so much history behind that. And eventually it came up into especially the 80s and 90s was when the underground queer scene really grabbed and put its clutches into the zine culture. And that was really kind of where you'd end up finding out like things from your community, how to be part of your community. There's all kinds of trans and queer zines out there that have been around for probably like more than 2 decades.
Awesome. And speaking of history, so what is your history of making art prior to making zines?
So my history with art, let me drink some water real quick.
Oh.
I've basically been doing art as just a means of communication since I was a child. You can ask my mom, as long as I've been able to hold a pencil or a pen, I've been doodling and drawing. And my first entrance into art was my special interest in cats as a child.
Oh.
So I was obsessed with cats, and I would draw my own news. My first zine I ever made was a newspaper zine. I would, except I didn't use a copy machine. I would painstakingly write every single copy to give to my family. And they have like little stories about my fictional cats that I had stories about them, and be like, here's the news in Catland, and
Oh
it'd
my
be so
God.
cute. And I
That's
was like, when I was
adorable.
like 5. And I'd go hand deliver them to my family and be like, here's a new issue. And it was just a thing. It was so, but I had a lot of training after that. I was thankful that I had a lot of really amazing mentors. And my high school teacher, Miss Music, she was amazing. And then I have two mentors in my college years, Miss Gillies and Mr. Steinbach, are both really amazing people that helped me like grow as an artist. And now I'm a professional motion designer and illustrator that just got into doing zines again. Probably around 2020 was when I started getting really like into making them and doing small press publishing and getting out there with them.
No, that's awesome. Yeah, it's I mean, I love talking to artists so much because like, it's like I guess I'm technically an artist, but like I'm not an
Yeah.
artist in the way that like a lot of other people conceive of artists. Like, I mean, my medium is the video, but like in terms of like visual art, drawing, sculpting, like painting, that sort of thing, it just to me that's all seems like sorcery. So like
It's fun.
it's not a skill that I ever developed, but I love talking to people who have those skills because it's just like I love just kind of prodding them and it's like finding out how they think and how what makes them tick. So
Yeah,
I
absolutely.
Yeah,
I
I
think
relish
like,
the opportunity every time.
oh yeah, absolutely. It's so fun to listen and just like, especially because there's so many mediums too. Like that's one thing, is I've been very fortunate to be able to try out lots of different mediums. So I do lots of stuff like painting with acrylic or watercolor. I like lots of ink drawing, especially making comics and stuff with ink drawing and stuff, and the techniques that go into that. And I do embroidery for a hobby, just like embroidery art. And then also like live sketching, like life drawing and stuff too, is something I usually try to do all the time. And so kind of just living, breathing art for pretty much my whole life.
Oh, that's amazing. Amazing. So we kind of touched on this earlier because there's kind of like a history of the LGBTQ plus community getting kind of grabbing hold of the zine culture. How did learning more about your own gender make you want to help others through your zines?
I think it was one of those things where I saw how confused and alone I was as a child when it came to gender stuff. Like, I wanted to never have another kid feel that way. Like, I always wanted to have that information out there in a conversational way that, like, that was how I was treated when I was like on Tumblr and stuff. I want other people to have that freedom of information. It's definitely, let me look over the question. Learning about myself made me want to like help others, like be able to find themselves too, because just feeling that loneliness is like something I never want to wish on anyone. So I feel like with making little small press things is a way to just kind of like get parts of the community out there and let people know they're not so alone.
Yeah. No, that's something I relate to quite a lot as someone who makes videos on YouTube. Is I found that YouTube was a big part of my early transition journey because, like, you know, like yourself, you know, you have all these feelings about yourself and you think you're alone and you think that nobody else feels that way. And then you go out there and you see other people's stories and you see yourself reflected in those. So, and much in the same way that you use your zines to help people with their transitions. I mean, that's kind of, when I talk about my trans experiences, that's my way of paying it forward. And just like, because I also don't want people to grow up the way that I did, you know, and like not knowing who they were and like not having language to kind of describe their feelings and stuff like that. So luckily in the internet age, it's access to that information is way easier than when I grew up, because I grew up before the internet. So.
Yes, same.
Yeah, so... but yeah, it's certainly, it's easier in some ways and it's harder in other ways because there's a lot of loud people who don't want us to be here. Which, you know, that's not something I remember. I mean, the same exact loud people, had a different group of marginalized people that they wanted to go after. So now we're the target. So that's unfortunately the current state of affairs, but I think overall the progress is marching forward, and you know, through art made by trans people for trans people, that's how we make the world a better place. That's my take anyway. How do you think you can change the world through zines?
I think just getting down to like, it's one of those things where it's like, it kind of feels like a can of worms. It's like, once you open that up, and this is how it was for me when I learned about transgender stuff in general and just like gender in general, was just like a can of worms. Like once it's open, like you can't stop it. And so I feel like it's like zines are one of those things that it's like, once the information's out there, it's going to get passed around. It's going to be a word of mouth. It's going to be something that someone remembers and they tell someone. And just to put something into the cultural consciousness is so important to me, because it's like, that's just your little part. Like like Desmond Tutu's quote, I always think about his quote, like, do your little bit of good where you are in the world, even if it feels like kind of just building on his statement of just like, even if it feels like you're not doing anything a lot, and it might feel selfish to be making little zines, but sometimes I experience feelings like that, but they do change the world, because just changing one person's life is changing the world. So if one person is able to make more sense of their life through trans zines that I make, or just to feel that trans joy that is so fleeting sometimes, I feel like that we need to hold on to right now, especially, because some of my zines are just a little bit of fiction, just happy stuff that deals with queerness. And so I basically just think it's possible to change the world just in your little own way, in your own community. Just one step at a time, by making little zines and just getting getting your experience and the fact that your existence is real out there is just so, it's grounding, and it also can help other people too.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, like, making art that helps people is not exclusively the domain of like global artists that are, you know, multimillionaires.
Oh, I know, right?
It's anyone can do it. Like, anyone can pick up a pen. Anyone can, you know, grab a lump of clay or whatever your medium is. Anyone can do it. And it's, I will shout from the mountaintops, like the value of art therapy, not only for yourself, but for others as well. And, you know, if the only person that you help is yourself, you're still making the world a better place. And if you happen to help,
I love that.
Yeah. And if you happen to help a few others along the way, then that's great. But yeah, it's like, it's, I don't think it's any more or less valuable that if you help one person or if you help a million people, you know, if there's a million of us that all help one person, that's the same
a million
thing.
People. Yeah. That's exactly. So good. And that too is like people will, those people that learn something from your zines will teach other people. So it is that butterfly effect. It's really cool.
So yeah, that's, I mean, it's like in my like middle age years, this is something that, you know, I've become more and more passionate about is, you know, the value of art, because I definitely had an upbringing in the maths and the sciences and where artistic things were, you know, less focused upon. Let's put it that way. And I'm really kind of discovering like a newfound appreciation for it and maybe a little bit of regret that I didn't do this earlier, but unfortunately you can't do anything
there's
no, about
there's
it.
Still plenty of time.
Exactly. So Orion, you have a zine that you'd like to tell us about. Why don't you show it to us?
I was going to talk about the most new zine that's coming up. What I'm kind of give a preface this year, I'm working on a comic called The Fox Who Became a Girl, and it's a 36 page fairy tale comic. So I'm starting with that this year and finishing it up. But and you should check it out. Definitely. It's really cool. That's going to be coming out June 2024, so in just about a few months here. But after I finish with releasing The Fox Who Became a Girl, I'm going to be working on another zine, which is going to be a zine I've been wanting to make for a long time. And it's called, it doesn't have a working title yet, but it's going to be kind of like a non-binary dex, like kind of like learning about all non-binary types of expression and gender. Because I want to combat the idea that non-binary is just a third gender and that like we have this gender trinary thing going on in society right now. So I am trying to work out the logistics of getting a zine together that would be like a page for each type of gender that is under the non-binary umbrella. And then I would like to interview people that are of that gender and get their like view on how would you describe your gender? How does your gender feel or lack thereof too? Because there's lots of genderless people too in the non-binary community. So basically it's a lot of going to be a lot of community outreach for this one. So if you're interested and you are of a non-binary gender that you think is underrepresented, I'll be looking for people for pretty much every single one. It's going to be probably like a long zine, probably at least like a 50 page zine maybe. It's going to be like one of my biggest zines I've ever made. But that's going to be my second project for 2024.
I think at that point it ceases to be a zine and becomes a full-fledged magazine.
Yeah, it's pretty much that. Like it's going to be a very long zine. It's just going to become a magazine and it's going to be so fun. But yeah, The Fox Who Became a Girl is what I'm working on now. You can see that on the screen. Over
yeah,
there.
The cover is so right cute.
Way.
I love it.
In the right way somewhere. But yeah, that one is going to be a great story. That's been written by Chloe Bear, one of my good friends. She's a trans woman and she wrote the story a long time ago. It was a 3-page story, just a quick story she wrote, and then I fell in love with it and it made me like cry. I was like, I want to make this a comic. So yeah, it was so meaningful. It was just and it was just a little short thing that she made, and so I had talked to her and we agreed to collaborate, and she reworked the entire story into a comic script for me. And then I've been working since like 2021 off and on, and since then have been really the last 6 months have been really buckling down on getting it done. I've gotten all the inks and all the pencils done, so now we're just looking at painting it this month. So if you catch any of my streams, I'll be painting this month, and it'll be usually night streams because I am a night person. But I'll be doing all kinds of cool streams where I'm painting each and every page. They're going to be all hand illustrated. They're all hand inked, and then they'll be all done with watercolor. So I'm super hyped.
Oh my God. That sounds awesome. So for your community outreach project, how can people get in touch with you if they think they're good candidates to be interviewed
Yes,
about?
if you're looking to be a good candidate for that, if you feel like you really want to jump in and help out, I am looking for pretty much anyone of any non-binary gender or lack thereof. And that can be at orion@ovader.gay. I'll type that in the chat.
Yeah, and you can also find it in our
Find
show
it in our
notes
show
if you're
notes.
listening to this in the future. And I think it's actually
And it's
already in
actually
the
already
Twitch
in the
chat
chat
there. We
there.
have ovader.gay.
Yeah, it'll be my
Strong
website.
URL.
I know, I love it so much. It makes me so happy. Shout out to Pork Bun. They are my host and they do all the dot gay
Oh my God,
websites.
I love it. I want a dot gay now. So you have all
Okay,
these.
there we go. I put the email. If you want to email me directly, if you're really looking into being interviewed for that, I'm collecting information of people early. And then I'll get back to you later this year with some questions once I develop them. But I would love to work with people on this because it's going to be one of my bigger zines. And it's going to be something that I think is going to be a real testament to kind of what I'm trying to do with my work. So
Yeah,
I'm
that's
excited.
awesome. That's awesome. I really think there's kind of a lack of non-binary stories out there because there's, a lot of stories about the binary trans experience. And,
Yes.
that's as a binary trans person, that's, there's stories I relate to and I very much find a lot of
Yeah,
value in them.
absolutely.
But that's not the full extent of the trans experience. So,
Right? Absolutely.
there's so many different flavors of being trans and so many different flavors of being non-binary.
Yep.
And I think that we need to tell those stories as well. So I know that our community here, the Gender Maelstrom Discord server, is very diverse. We have folks of all stripes. So I
Yay.
encourage people in our community to reach out to Orion and tell your story and
Yes, please do. I'd love to hear
get featured in
everything.
their zine.
Yeah, that'll
So.
be awesome. It'll be either anonymous if you want to stay safe, or if you want your name to be known, I can always shout you out with your little at on there. However you want to do it, that'll be up to your convenience and up to your safety choice, or privacy choice and all that. But yeah, it'll be a really fun zine. I'm so excited to get working on it. It'll probably take at least a year to make.
Oh
So I'll
yeah,
be
that
starting
sounds
on
like a
it this
massive
year,
undertaking. Yeah.
and it'll be a big work in progress. And then hopefully it'll be
Yeah.
out like 2025, in time to kind of get some people helping with educating and get more of our stories out there.
Yeah, no, that's so cool. So we've talked about a lot about your upcoming projects. Do you have any sort of zines, like dream projects that you haven't started yet that you want to make in the future that you haven't yet?
I think basically some other ones I've had rolling around in my brain. I definitely want to write another. I would like, well, it's so hard to kind of think. I did one zine that was Trans 101 for allies, and I'd like to take some time to redo that zine and make it illustrated. So that's one of my ones that is like stick a pin in it idea for later. So that one, yeah, it's up there. Someone I know came out as trans. So How to Support the Trans Community for Beginners has been a really good selling zine. It helps a lot of people. It goes over the complete basics, but I want to have some graphics in there, like comic style graphics that can help people kind of relate to these characters and see that in experience and stuff. So other than that, I think some other ones I know would definitely be the non-binary zine for sure. That's one that is like a dream zine I want to make. And then other than that, I think that's it for right now. And then yeah, I'm not quite sure where I'm going yet. Those are going to
Yeah.
be I think the doors are open, so there's going to be plenty of ideas that'll hit me soon, but I'm really like that non-binary zine is definitely in my dream zine right now.
Oh yeah, no, that sounds awesome. And I'm just kind of looking through the rest of your little portfolio here. There is a you have a zine about debunking myths on transgender athletes. Can you tell us a little bit more about that one?
Yes, absolutely. So that one actually came up. I got it right here. Oh, it just ran me.
Well.
There we go. That was powerful. Powerful zine. But yes, it
Yes.
is a quick little zine with just the top five myths of that deal with trans athletes and kind of what transphobic society is really like believing about us and using it to get us out of sports. And it's terrible what they're doing. So this zine started because Greg Abbott and he, the horrible person he is, came to Texas Women's University in Denton, where I live, and went there to sign the bill to ban trans women athletes from collegiate level sports. And so he made a big shtick of it at the women's university to do it. And I showed up with at least 100 other protesters to just kind of yell at him and be like, no, we don't want you here. Get out. This is not what you're going to use our campus for. The campus didn't even support him. They didn't want him there. Nobody that was related to the school wanted him there doing this. And so I met up with a lot of other people in the trans community there. And I made these like the night before. I was like, I don't know if we're going to run into people that are going to be like angry at us and think and be believing these myths. So I made them as a way to cross the bridge with people and be like, and fortunately we didn't have any counter protesters show up, but I did hand these out to some people that just wanted them because they were asking. But these were essentially made as a way to kind of help kind of stop what people were believing and debunk these myths. And I did it in a way that was big letters and really quick, like showing the myth and then the reality. And I have like a little bit of bit.ly links in there for extra information if they need more information to kind of prove that what I'm saying in here. And it was all resourced from various different trans athletes as well as doctors and stuff that like are on our side. Obviously, all this stuff is just a bunch of junk that they're making up. That is not actually true. It's not actually happening. We are not a threat to athletes. Trans people are not a threat to anyone on any team. We are not winning things and then taking all away opportunities for cis girls. That is not what's happening. So what's happening is we are being cut out of a general part of society that is very good for our growth, especially for kids. Being a part of a sports team, everyone deserves to be on. And so that's what I wanted to really bring home with my book is that like they don't want you to know that like Greg Abbott and all them don't want you to know that this they're using fear mongering to get you to believe this propaganda that they spew. And so it doesn't do any favors to women, sports, or feminism to believe any of that. So that's kind of what I was driving home with these zines. And they did pretty good. I do usually give these out with whenever there's any kind of event like that going on, because unfortunately, Texas, we have a lot of that here. They've just decided that we are the main target right now in Texas. So, but yeah, it was a really cathartic experience to make this zine because it just is. It's more stuff. I want to get that education out there in a way that's accessible to people. So it's not they don't because that too is I feel like the people that are making up the propaganda want us to I want everything to be obfuscated. I can't say that word very well, but you know what I mean.
I mean,
But
it's a
like,
word that describes itself.
yeah, it's very intense how they don't even want you to know any of the truth and. I'm just sticking the truth out there because that's how I found it. I found the truth about being trans and non-binary on Tumblr without any kind of censoring or anything. And I want that for other people. And this gets like to people in locality. And I kind of would leave these in places like at bars and stuff and just somewhere where people can pick them up and start learning.
No, I love that. It's kind of like a guerrilla distribution.
Yeah, absolutely. I do them, especially in the little free libraries. That's my favorite thing to do is I'll take a lot of my trans zines and I just put like multiple copies in the little free libraries all the time. Whenever I try to keep some in my car. So if I ever find a little free library while I'm out, I'll have stuff to put in there. And this is kind of, yeah, my guerrilla little activism there to kind of like get it out there. And because with all the book bans and stuff, it's pretty hard to kind of get all of our education out there now, especially in Texas. So it's just, yeah, I'm just trying to get it all out there pretty much.
No, that's wonderful. I love that. And yeah, like the whole like trans athlete discussion. Well, first of all, it completely ignores trans men. It's this is
Oh yeah, that
apparently
too.
this is only like people who are concerned about this are only concerned about trans women.
I know, it's
And
so gross. I hate it.
it's just like you clearly don't care about women's sports. This is it was never about women's sports.
Oh yeah, I
It
think I
yeah.
mentioned that in here too. Let me see. Let's see. Oh yeah, here's the one thing that's like, okay, yeah, this page. I'll just read this page real quick. It's real small. Just exactly what you were saying. Myth. We have to level the playing field. Reality. Most people falsely believe that excluding trans women from women's sports is feminist and is the right thing to do when it isn't. Most people who complain about fairness in women's sports do not watch or support women's sports at all whatsoever. And I wrote on here, like, what are things that actually threatens women's sports? The pay gap, sexual assault of women athletes, genital inspections and testosterone testing, things that don't threaten women's sports, inclusion of transgender women and girls.
Mm-hmm.
So that was just like the very last page, kind of just going, basically, anyone that's arguing about this doesn't have any interest in women's sports. They never
Yeah,
did in the
exactly.
beginning.
Exactly. And it just kind of like absurd on its face if you just think about it, because like if trans women did have like a huge advantage in sports, they would be dominating every sport, but they're not.
I know, right? It's just wild.
And there's a number of like non-physical sports. So like, for instance, like I'm a casual fan of chess, and
yes.
chess is segregated by men and women is like already, I find ridiculous.
Right.
But the fact that like they're trying to like stop trans women from playing in the women's leagues is like,
oh yeah.
Why?
That, and I know like there was one woman that won a darts thing recently, and
yes,
she's
yes.
currently under fire for that too. And she
yes.
like literally responded to it, and she goes, you know, I'm human too. I like deserve to be allowed to win. Like, it's not
yeah,
the end
exactly.
Of, yeah, they act like it's the end of opportunities for cis people when a trans woman wins, or when a trans man wins, or when anyone wins. It's just like,
mm-hmm.
let us be human. Like, we can win, we can
exactly.
lose, just like y'all.
Exactly. And it's the history of this is like very insidious, because this didn't start with trans women. So this, this goes back like probably at least a century, if not more, because they're using the same playbook. They just crossed out the word black and wrote in the word trans.
Yep, absolutely. Because
exactly the same thing they used to do to exclude black women from sports and black men from sports is what they're doing now to trans women.
It's so gross. It's just repeated bigotry. It's so gross.
It is. It is. So it's I'm like, I'm not a sports fan. Like, I could care less
I know,
about
right?
sports. But I think like you said, like, you know, for a lot of like young people growing up, like having that social outlet and being in that like structured environment is really good for their development. And
it is.
When we as a society say, hey, no, you're not allowed to participate in this, what kind of message are we sending?
I know, it's so sad. It's just like, let kids be kids and let them play games, like
exactly.
sports. Like,
exactly.
We just want to be kids, whether we're trans or cis.
Yeah, I mean, I would even go so far there as to like just desegregate sports in general and just do everything.
Yeah, I think
class.
That would be better, honestly.
Yeah,
because
like,
it's just so archaic to even be doing it anymore.
Exactly, because there are a lot of like big, strong women, and there's a lot of like little small guys.
Exactly.
So
it's just like ridiculous how they do that. But yeah.
Now tell us about any other zine makers or any specific zines that you'd recommend for us to check out.
Oh yes, other zine makers. I know, let me see really quick. Let's think. I'm trying to think of some of my favorite zine makers. I know like the Black Zine Archive, they make a lot of really cool stuff as a group, and they are on Instagram. And I think it's just BLK Zine Archive. And I think that is their stuff. And they have this one that I really love that was for Palestine. It was one that you could put any kind of information that you want to help your community in ways that you could do it. And they set it out for free. And it was like, they gave the PDF out, and it was such a beautifully designed one. And then it had plenty of space for me to go in and add my Texas resources in there. And that was one of my favorite from the Black Zine Archive. They do amazing work. And it's also just another one of those zines that is like getting the really important information they don't want you to know out there. So it's a lot of that underground kind of sense to it. And then some other zine makers, I know my friend Jax, which is Soli. I'll type their name. There we go. Soul Killer. That's one of my friends. He makes, he has some art zines that he's put together from Inktober, and those are always fun. And then, and he's also a clown too. So I really love shouting out his work.
Like
he
a literal clown?
Clowning,
like,
yes.
You're not making fun of him, are you?
No, like a real clown. Like, he does clowning. He's so cool. He's one of my friends. I just got back from his place. He does my hair too. So
awesome. That's
so but
cool.
He has a couple zines that he's made. It's really cool. I just love his art a lot, so I want to shout him out as a creator. And then I'm trying to think of some other great zine makers. Let me think. I know, like, anything from Crime Think, if you've ever been to their website, they do all kinds of cool stuff too, and they do make zines, and usually they're like freely distributed zines. And then a local person that makes zines in my town is Triangle Nonprofit Press. They are awesome. They are a very small functioning zine distribution, and they do all nonprofit. So it's all covered by donations, and then they give out these zines in the community for free. They've done some stuff for like the Greater Dense Arts Council, they had a zine for the artist that does the Willie Nelson stuff. They had an exhibit for him, Steve Brooks, because he was a graduate from our college in the area. So they made a whole zine that was about his art, and they gave it for free at the exhibit. So it was really cool. Wish I could knew where it was. I would grab it really quick, but that'll take me forever. But but Triangle Nonprofit Press is great. They are on Facebook, and I think that they're on other socials too. I think they might be on Instagram, but mostly I see them on Facebook because they're kind of Denton local, and they are awesome. And then the other group is the Texas Pedal Project. I would highly recommend them. Rachel Weaver of the Texas Pedal Project is an amazing zine maker, and they started the zine and art party here in Denton, which is like the local kind of big zine event that we have every year, where all zine makers can come and do it at a local bar. And it's really cool. I've been a part of it, and Texas Pedal Project and the Denton Zine and Art Party are both part of that. And then the Texas Pedal Project, they make usually nature eco-activism zines, and I've been a part of a couple of their zines. So that's my shout outs. That's kind of a lot.
No, that's awesome. We'll make sure we get all of those in our show notes that will be going out in the future. So if you are
definitely
in the future,
I'll send a link to y'all afterward in this chat too. So that
yeah,
you can
of
find
course.
Me.
We've been taking notes as we go along.
So oh, good, perfect.
If this is your first introduction to zines, oh boy, we got some recommendations for you.
Yeah, some fun stuff, very fun stuff. And then also too, if you're ever looking for like a zine library to check out, not only does my town have now two zine libraries that you can physically check out, one at the Greater Denton Arts Council. So if you're local to Denton, go to the Greater Denton Arts Council to go check out their zine library. And the other one is at the Willis Library up on UNT campus. That one just opened like last week. It was a big event for that at the Artist Books to Zines little convention event they had at the library. It was really cool. But they are physical ones. But then there's also a couple I'll give, like Sherwood Forest Zine Library is one that is online. And then the next one I think I would recommend is the Queer Zine Archive. You can just look that up and it'll show up the site for you. And that's where you can find all the underground queer stuff from the 70s and 80s.
Awesome.
That's really
awesome. That's cool. Yeah. Also, you can check out your local library. They may be able to point you in the direction of some of these zine libraries in your local town.
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely check your library because they do lots of zine supportive stuff. Especially, you might even find a zine workshop. Most of the libraries in my town do zine workshops, and it's really fun. Like this little one, the Euphoria Island zine I made. Oop. It didn't like that.
We can put it
up on the thing. Yes. There we go. Sorry, I destroyed the camera there for a second. My bad. But I made one called Euphoria Island, and it's just a little fiction zine about just like where I would like to go when I am sad on days that I'm getting misgendered. Aww. And I just want to go to a little island where all trans and non-binary people can be, and you can look how you want to look and be who you want to be, and wear what you want to wear and do your hair the way you want. It's really a cute little happy zine. It was only a little mini page zine, just an 8-pager on one page. And that was from the Disability Pride workshop I went to on Zoom. I can't remember the group that did it, but it was a really cool little like workshop that we did through Zoom. And I learned, that was kind of my first, Euphoria Island was my first official zine since like childhood. That was what I made in 2021. It was during July of that year, because that's Disability Pride Month. So they had a whole week of events, and the Wednesday event was the zine making workshop. And that was really fun. And My Gender Gistory is another one. That was another zine I made all about basically the gist of my gender. And I illustrated in a comic format my little gender journey and kind of all the phases I went through. So that all these have digital versions too. You can find on my website. I sell either the digital ones that are just the PDFs, or you can find the little physical ones that I can send to you. But yeah, those were really fun. So you can do all kinds of fun stuff in zine workshops. They open up the door and kind of like let you play, especially if it's a physical zine workshop. You get to like make some cool ones. Like this one is going to be a little hard to see. I'm gonna put it against me. There we go. And it's did this one with all. It's called When I'm 64, and it's about visualizing what elder years will be like as a trans person, and kind of that unknown sense where I want to like travel. And this was all done with cut and paste, so using magazines to just cut out things that I felt worked. And then I want to have a place among the stars, so I chose my name Orion at the end because I had a little
Yes. So
Orion
there's the
cut out.
constellation Orion. For those of you who can't see, that is the constellation Orion, which you can see in the northern hemisphere in the winter months.
Yes, it's so fun. And then I had a
Yes,
little
I'm a
cutout
huge
thing in the
astronomy nerd, so like I could probably name like half the stars in that constellation.
Oh, that's so awesome. Yes. Isn't Beetlejuice one of them?
Yeah, this Betelgeuse is Rigel, and then there's the three stars in Orion's belt, one of which is called Mintaka. There's also the Orion Nebula, which is just below the belt.
Oh, wow. How cool is that? That's so awesome
Yes.
you know all that. I love that.
Yes. Oh my God. I could info dump about astronomy stuff like for hours.
Oh, yes. That's so amazing. We'll have to talk about that sometime. But yeah, go to your zine library or go to your library, local library, find a zine workshop, do something fun like that, get out there and get cutting and pasting and cutting it and folding and putting it all together, and you'll have a blast. So there's all kinds of zine workshops nowadays.
That's awesome. Yeah, I love that it's like magazine cutouts because for those of us who are drawing challenged like me,
Yeah, the zine types for everybody.
yes. So that's that might be like how I get into it is by just cutting and pasting existing art and just mashing it together.
Yeah, and you can even like if you want a specific topic you want to write about, a lot of times people will print out the paper and then cut it up into the little like square pieces, like where it'll be a little rectangular stuff. And because that kind of look of the zine where it's all cut and paste is a big important part of it. Not always, because depend you can do digitally made zines. Like I do is my most comfort zone is to digitally make a zine, and then but making it physically and getting to do that cut and paste is just like none other. It's such a good sim. I love this like feeling of it and getting to explore the things and go, what's gonna work for my zine? What's gonna work? And just having those limitations makes like some real creativity happen there.
Yeah, no, that sounds really cool. That sounds like a really like chill activity to do.
Oops, destroy myself again for a second. There we go, I'm back.
Sorry, my voice is starting to fade away, so
Oh yeah,
but
no problem.
we're doing our best here. But yeah, it's I like that you brought up trans elders because yeah, that's unfortunately, for a lot of us, we don't have trans elders in our lives for one reason or another. And I think it's important to imagine a future with trans elders in it. And I really like that, like you've kind of created that for yourself. And I'm gonna be a trans elder not that long from now, so we're
I
getting
know,
there.
I feel like I'm getting up there. I'm like 32, but I feel like 40 is coming very close. And I'm like, oh, I'm gonna be a trans elder soon by that point. It's a good
I'm gonna
feeling
be
though. It's
oh
not like a
boy.
bad feeling.
I'm gonna be in my mid-40s soon,
Oh,
so
yay, that's amazing. That's so exciting.
and it's just like, oh, I have to get my retirement accounts and I have to like do
Right?
all
And
these
kind of get it all
investments. I
started.
have to figure out what I'm gonna do in 20 years when I retire.
Right. Oh my goodness. There's a lot to plan for, but
But
you'll be ready
those are grown up problems. Those are grown
for
up problems,
it.
and I don't want to deal with those right now. So
I don't blame you.
that was an interesting question from chat from Ms. Machine. How would you define a trans elder? So I'll give kind of my take on it and then I'll let you
Yeah, go
answer
ahead.
that question as well. So I think it's relative. Like what counts as a trans elder? Because like I'm an old person, but I've only been doing this trans thing for about 4 years. So there are people who are younger than me who have been at this much longer than me that I might consider a trans elder. But from like a life experiences like standpoint, like I mean, I have a very like good friend that like she's like my niece, like because I'm much older than her, but like we started our trans journey around the same time. So like in some respects, I'm a trans elder, and others we're not. So I don't know. I think
Like on
it's
that equal footing of
I don't think
experience.
there's one precise definition. I think the definition needs to suit the circumstance. So that's my take. What do you think?
Yes, I love that. That is beautiful. Because I agree too. I definitely think it's circumstantial. Because yeah, like I would feel like I feel like I've been doing the transition thing for like 12 years now, and it's about my 12th year of being out publicly. So it's been a long time, and I feel like that kind of constitutes me as a trans elder now that I'm like gone through a decade of gender expression changes and trying all that stuff and finally got top surgery. So I got that last year. That was like, I felt like the ending of my physical transition was with that. And it's kind of weird to be there at that point because I was like, I never had, I had a hard time visualizing that. So I think that like being a trans elder is definitely like based, like what you were saying, like it's just based on a lot of different things. You could feel like a trans elder at like 30 something. You could feel like a trans elder in the 40s. It really just depends on like where you are, where you come from. And just like, I guess like, I think a big part of it is just like, I think like that will to like make a better world for the people that are younger than you and like, or like, in less experience kind of stuff too. Just like I think that desire to make a better world for them is a big part of being a trans elder. Cause I feel like once I started aging, I really like wanted like 2021 hit and I was like, I'm kind of done focusing on just what my issues are. I want to focus on the community's issues. I want to get talking. I want to leave something behind. Like I was hitting that point where I think a lot about legacy and like trying to leave something behind for the younger trans, especially youth that are just now learning this stuff, or they're way ahead of where I was when I was a kid, and they need that support. So I think that just being in that position where you're ready to like leave a better world for other people, I think is definitely one of those like kind of circumstantial ways that I think that you could consider people a trans elder.
Yeah, no, that's a great way of looking at it, because like, yeah, that desire to like not have the younger people go through what we had to go through, because you know, I haven't had let's put it this way, I haven't had an easy life. So, and especially like not realizing I was trans until my late 30s, and it just like, and I think like every like person who comes into their trans like later in life, like goes through these emotions where they think about all the lost years and what could have been if they just figured things out sooner. So there's that desire to like not want anyone else to go through that. So and yeah, so and like I'm extremely passionate about, you know, supporting trans youth and stuff like that. And yeah, like I want to leave the world a better place for young trans people. So I guess that
Absolutely.
makes me a trans elder, I guess.
Yeah, I think we're both trans elders in that regard.
So, but on the other hand, like I'm still learning. Like it's still, this
Right?
is still a relatively new experience for me. And like I'm still, you know, depending on your definition of what a baby trans is, I might still be one. I don't know.
I love that though. I'm so happy for you. That's such an, and
Yes.
also congratulations. I know tomorrow's your 3-year anniversary. That's so
Yes.
cool.
Tomorrow's so at
Yay.
time of recording, tomorrow is my so April 2nd is my 3-year anniversary of coming out as trans. So yeah, it's really, oh boy, it's just like I'm getting it all at the same time. It's like I'm the baby trans but the elder trans at the same time. It's, I don't know.
It's a wild dichotomy kind
Yes,
of that you
yes.
kind of go in and out depending on who you're talking to and what you're talking about. It's cool. I love that.
Yeah, it's like I have a lot in common with like a teenage girl because we're both going through puberty, but I also have a lot in common with someone who's doing like retirement planning and is trying to like purchase their first home and
Yes,
all
I
these
love
like
that so much.
adult things. So I mentioned this at the start of the show, and I'm very sick and I'm doing my best to get through this. So we might be ending a little bit early today, but we kind of already we've touched on this topic a little bit already. So we've talked about kind of going through zine workshops and creating your own zines. So for people who are maybe not familiar with zines at all, who want to get their feet wet and like get into the art of making zines, what's your advice to people out there who want to just, you know, just getting started?
So if you're just getting started, I'd start with reading zines. That's my favorite thing to recommend. Start a zine collection. Just look for friends that make zines or anyone that makes zines, and just try to find like pretty much like just someone that you can read of what they're doing, and just starting by seeing what's out there is a really big step, I feel like, because it can be almost overwhelming to get involved in the to get involved in like the big kind of group kind of thing like that. But definitely like just start by reading some and try to collect them. They're usually really cheap on artist websites too, because zines don't usually run more than $10, and if they do, it's usually because it's a really nicely made zine. But most of them are like $2 to $5 online. So or if you have like if there's any kind of like a vendor event you might know about, maybe you just go as like a viewer, like so, like someone that's an appreciator, and look for people. Like if there's a zine fest or anything near you, sometimes they run those, especially in college towns. Yeah, FC, I've seen what Juice is saying. FC and Coffee and such is a really good place for zines. Those would be like little homemade shops. I know one of my favorite zine makers that I made, that I'm just going to throw another recommendation in there, is Reflective Zines on Etsy. They are so good, and they make a lot of mental health zines that are very helpful. I got some DBT zines from them, which are zine versions of the DBT skills that I use in therapy,
Oh,
and they are
wow.
so cool. Like I use them as reminders, because it's like a very nice like comforting experience to go, okay, I need to use this, or I need to remember how to use this tool. And I just read the little zine, and it goes over each, like the Deer Man, if anyone's ever heard of that one. It's like an acronym. I won't go over what the acronym means, but it's just one of those. It's like each step of the task that you do basically is what that each letter stands for, and they go over that in the book. And it's like just like looking for stuff that you like. Definitely look for what you like first. Look for zines that interest you, and then once you start reading the zines, you'll get bit with the bug, because I did too, and I was like, I want to start making these. And like just oh, and then my best recommendation, the second best recommendation after you start like getting into zines, try to look for some zines that people are putting out for you to fold yourself, because that would take all of the stress out of producing your own zine, and then give you the experience of getting to fold and distribute a zine. So like the Black Zine Archives, if you want to help with like their little zine with how you can help Gaza and Palestine, and it was like you can go download that PDF and customize it in yourself, or if you just find someone on, you can also like there's a lot of free zines on these archives that I recommended earlier, like the Queer Zine Archive. You could go and find those and print them out, and then have a physical version of that zine that you found in the library. That's another great way to get into zines, because that's how I started getting into them too. Was like I would print out the stuff, and they'd be like, "Here, I made a zine. You can make it." And you just print it out and learn how to fold with one page or multiple pages. And getting familiar with the printer and stuff is that is a really kind of the hardest part of zine making, is just getting a printer to work. So,
Oh my God.
but yeah, that's my best suggestion probably, is just start collecting them and then start putting them together, and then eventually you're gonna get bit with that bug and go, I want to step it up and produce my own zine. So you'll get there.
Yeah, no, that's oh boy, printers.
I
When I think
know, they're
about
fun.
printers, it's like 40-year-old technology. It's still the same. Like,
I know, right?
All right, so we're gonna get into our concluding questions here. But before we get into those, is there anything that we missed about zine making that you'd like to make sure that you say?
No, I think we covered it all pretty much. We've gone through a lot.
So this next question is my favorite question, just because we talked about this a little bit earlier with certain loud people making things difficult for people like us. And unfortunately, that is the framing that trans lives are currently having to go through. But I think it's far more important that we share our trans joy, especially with yesterday, time of recording being Trans Day of Visibility. Can you
Yes.
share an experience with us that you've had with gender euphoria?
Oh, definitely. Gender euphoria is one of those things that I like love to cherish when it happens. And I think like some of my favorite things has been like since top surgery, I basically like Sometimes I still get misgendered, but it's like days I'm wearing a skirt. I'm a guy that likes to wear skirts, so I'm like,
Sure.
I'm only giving them so much. I don't expect them to go much further than just an immediate assumption. So, but even some days that I am wearing a skirt, like I'll still get sirred, and it's just like that experience is so small. Like just to have that small little interaction of being called sir, like in public, is especially at like I go to a 7-Eleven that's right by my apartment, and that place gives me so much euphoria because everyone there knows me, and
Oh.
they all know that I'm a guy, so they don't treat me weird or anything. And everyone, like, I'll come in like wearing the most flamboyant thing. I'm about to go vend at an artist show or something, and they'll just be like, "Okay, sir, here's your stuff. Have a good day." And I'm like, that little bit is just like, just the mundanity of that is so euphoric to me, because I'm just like,
Yeah.
I just get to just go through life like this, and that's such a luxury that not everyone gets to have, and I recognize that. And so I'm very grateful for the moments that I get to have where it's just, it feels like I'm seamlessly fitting into society. And even the times that I don't, that I kind of stick out, because I'm as a non-binary person, I'm also very gender non-conforming as a guy. So I think my other favorite time, and I get the most gender euphoria, when someone can like catch that I'm queer and they ask what my pronouns are. And I think that is just like such a thing that people are starting to finally like get less afraid to do. It brings me so much joy, because I'm like, thank you for asking, is he and they? And then they get like really happy that they like, I asked theirs too. So it's like a shared experience. And just having those experiences like with anyone cis or trans, like I think is so just healing, because I want the world to be a good place where we're safe to introduce ourselves as our whole selves. I want to like help people get used to asking for pronouns and stuff. Because just those little moments where you just get treated like you're human and you're seen and you're not like a threat to people. That's something that really brings home like euphoria to me. It's just like when those kind of just simple niceties and like stuff. And then I think my second most euphoric thing would be probably like just physically be like being able to like it's kind of hard to put it into words, but like there's a certain physical untraining you have to do once you have top surgery. Like I think one of my most euphoric things is I don't have to slunch over anymore, because that I can have a good posture now. Is that like that's kind of
Imagine
random,
having a
but
good posture.
yeah, like it's such a random place to be like, oh, that's where gender euphoria comes from. But like, yeah, like being able to stand with my back like up and like chest puffed out, and I don't have a dysphoria meltdown. Oh my God, it's just, I feel so lucky to be able to have that. So I'm just so grateful for my friends and family that helped me get there. And so I can feel those moments where I don't have to feel like I have to hide anymore.
Yeah, no, I love that. And it's just like the with the whole pronouns thing, it just even though it's like a complete stranger, like it's nice just to be seen as who you are. So, like I had an experience recently where I was traveling and I'd been at the same place for a few days and I'd just been eating the awful continental breakfast every day. And then this one day where I had some extra time, and it's like, all right, I'm gonna go have a nice breakfast at a nice restaurant. And the server there like kept calling me Madame. I'm like, ooh, Madame.
I
Ooh.
love that. Oh my God, that's so beautiful. I love it.
Yeah. And it's like a little thing, but it's really nice. And it's, and yeah, it just being seen is just, oh, it, like when you spend so much of your life not being seen, like being seen is a joy.
Yeah, definitely.
Awesome. Now, is there anything that you'd like to make sure that folks know about your perspective on gender or and non-binary, trans and or gender diverse issues?
I think the number one thing is just I think just being open to sources of joy, where you can find them, and also finding what makes you tick in life, like whether that's educating people and to help the community, or like doing something that like it could be smaller scale stuff too. Just talking one on one with people, I think just kind of being that kind of being a positive force in the community, I think is one of the most important things about like being on my perspective of like being trans and non-binary. I basically just like, there's so many people and things in nature that inspires me in life that I want to like reflect that into the world. Whether it's like making animal characters that have like dimorphism stuff and make them trans on purpose, like in a in character art, like that's one of my little things that I like to do. And just like making change where you can in small places, I think is important. And that's just like my only take on like being a gender diverse person is like, I wanted to show people, including children, that there's possibilities. And that the possibility to live your life fully and be who you really are is something that is very, you're very fortunate to be able to do and to get to. And I just want to be able to give back to help everybody get to that space.
Oh, that's so beautiful and amazing. I love it so much. Well, it's been a pleasure to have you on the show. Orion Fern is a varied motion designer, illustrator, and zinester making queer things for you to look at. Find them and all his whereabouts at Ovator, O-V-A-E-T-T-R dot gay. And you can check their show notes for all of their links. And here is this week's clatter query that you, our audience, can answer on our social media platforms.
If you created a zine about an LGBTQ topic that is important to you, what would the topic be?
Hooray. Cool. So the next Genderful, we actually, it's a secret. We don't know. So next week, it's going to be somebody. So yeah, keep an eye on our Discord and our socials for updates on that. Genderful would also like to thank all of our supporters on Patreon. Holly Blash, Winter Vespers, Loch Ness Gamer, Justin Baker Rojas, Yaisio, Reyes Swords, Miramie, the Hessian, and Trans Capybara. So thanks for joining us on Trans Rights Are Human Rights. Genderful would like to thank our guests for being on this podcast. If you'd like to catch us live, join us on Mondays at twitch.tv/gendermeister. Show notes will appear in the edited versions of the show on Fridays on both YouTube and podcasting platforms. If you have a question you'd like the host to answer or are gender diverse and would like to request an interview, please send an email to genderfulpodcast@gmail.com or sign up via the website at genderfulpodcast.com. As a gender diverse community, The Clatter wants to assure our listeners that we are prepared to moderate our spaces. We will get positive and negative feedback on these shows and topics, and we have a moderation team on our channels, socials, and Discord ready to deal with this. Please join our Discord server at discord.gg/meowster to meet the community and get a regular digest of solidarity resources. You can also support us with subscriptions on Patreon, following and reviewing us on your favorite podcasting platform, or engaging with our posts and content on social media at GenderfulPod and at GenderMeowster. If you could take a few moments to also rate the show, we will post any 5-star reviews on our socials, so get creative. Mention a special interest of your own, a project you're working on, or say hi to your comfort person in your review. What power! This show is made possible by volunteers, tips, and subscriptions. Shout out to the folks helping us coordinate guests, edit the podcast, moderate the live chat, and post on our socials. Genderful is hosted by Miranda Katita and Gender Meowster. Genderful's pre-show is wrangled by Juice Tex. Genderful's live stream is produced by Miramie. Genderful is edited and mixed by Trans Griffin and Free Range Mags. Genderful's promos and thumbnail graphic design are by Trans Griffin. Genderful's social media is managed by Keenzy. Genderful's theme song is called Hope by Free Range Mags, aka Soma. Current Gender Biaster logo is designed by Siptopia. Genderful is the intellectual property of Gender Meowster, all rights reserved. Trans rights are human rights. That's right.